going, wow, that frightened me. What an amazing day in our calendar as Christians to celebrate the time when God actually came down to dwell in men. He came down in the form of Jesus, obviously, but he wants to dwell with us and live within us and show God's presence to this world through us. And it's a tremendous privilege to know that God really wants to dwell and live within our beings. And just one thing I'd like to do before we actually kick off or start, I'd just like to pray, because we're going to be thinking about Acts chapter 2, where God's Holy Spirit touched men's lives in an incredible way. And sometimes we take scriptures for granted. We have our formulated opinions of what was right and what was wrong and what was for today, what's for today and what's not for today. Well, I just want to be honest with you guys. I want to receive all that God wants to give me. Yes. I want to be that person that can open my heart to him and say, yes, Lord, please come in. Please do what you want to do. And before we start, let's just ask God in prayer that he will open our minds and hearts to receive what he wants to tell us this morning. Father, I just want to thank you today that you're here amongst us. And I just want to thank you that you not only are amongst us, but you want to dwell and live within us. And you want to do things that we haven't even imagined possible, because you are God and you work outside of our human frail mindset. We just ask you to open our hearts and our minds to what not only what you did in Pentecost, not only what you did for the disciples and the bystanders that were there, but Lord, we ask you to do not just the same, but to fill us in the same kind of way. Fill us with yourself in your sovereign way, we pray. Help us to be willing this morning to say to you, have your way in my life, Holy Spirit. Amen. Great. Now, you prayed that, so you'll have to answer to that one, okay? So, where we are this morning is this. It's Nation Sunday. We're thinking about all the different nations in the world where God has been working, where the gospel has reached. And, hello, it's not working, Ben. Ben, it's not working. I see Ben's thumb up there. That's no help to me, Ben. Ah, there it is. First of all, I just want to do this in two parts. First of all, we want to think of the promise of the Father for his disciples for us today, not only in the New Testament at the beginning of the church, but we want to think of not only the promise of the Father, but the proofs that the Father actually fulfilled his promise and is fulfilling it today. So we're here in the New Testament, just before the book of Pentecost, just before this outpouring of God's Spirit, and God actually Jesus, when he's on this earth, just before he's called up into glory, a few days before he was called up to glory, really started teaching in a special way about the truth of the Holy Spirit and what God was going to do. And he comes out and he says there's a need for the enabling of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus says this, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, just get the context of this, right? Jesus had been with his disciples for approximately 2.5-3 years. He'd been teaching them theology. He'd been teaching them how to live the Christian life, practical aspects of the Christian life, the moral responsibility that we have as Christians to live for God. And there's so much that God wanted to teach his disciples. And they were learning so much. And yet Jesus says to them, hang on, guys. There's someone else that's coming to help you. There's someone else that's here for you. And God wants to give you that. The Father wants to give you a promise that He will enable you to have received from Himself, from His throne, His power, His glory. And as we see that, the disciples began to realize, I'm sure, that there is more to come. And one of the greatest secrets of the Christian life is always to expect there's more to come. Always to expect, it doesn't matter how old you are, I'm speaking personally there, okay? It doesn't matter how old you are, there's more to come. There's more of God for you. There's more of God for me. God wants to do something incredible in our lives today. Oh, now, come on, guys. Look, I'm going to prime Matt then, all right? If I kick him, I want an amen off him, all right? Because we really need to see what God wants to do amongst us this morning. He's got something incredible for us. And He's working up to His disciples, and He's creating with them an atmosphere of expectation. The Father's going to bring a promise to us. He's got something special for us. And they could have said, oh, well, look, man, Jesus sent us out and we were involved in seeing miracles. We saw demons cast out of people. We saw people being liberated by God's power. We saw God do many things, and He was doing them through us. What more is there? There's always more with Jesus, okay? And let's get to this. You say, the Father's saying, okay, I've got more for you. I've got more for you. Yeah. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he says this, in my former book, Theophilus, that's the person that he was writing to, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Now, can we just catch this? When Jesus was teaching, He was teaching through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to try and explain this a little bit. Jesus is God. When He came down to this earth, He was God and man. If you want to be theologically correct, it's the la unione hipostatica. It's that mystery of how Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. Yet He put aside His outward manifestations of His glory as God, and He reveals Himself in this world as the Son of Man, who is filled with God's Holy Spirit to do the work that God wanted Him to do for us. Now, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit at that time because He is man, how much more us? As His children, Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit to enable Him to do God's work. And the question is, if Jesus needed more help of the Holy Spirit, we more. But we have to recognize that need. This is the sovereign act of God. God could have come down and blasted us right now with His Holy Spirit, and we could have been all on the floor. We could be all dancing up and down. I don't know what. But we have to be willing to let God move within us. Yeah. Now, we might not now all the theory and all the theological aspects, and there's a big list, a real big list. I wouldn't even dare read it on a Sunday morning. You'd never end when you think of the work of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Because God is an awesome God who wants to live and dwell in us, and He wants us, first of all, to be willing to open our hearts to Him so that we can receive what He's got for us. And this creates within us a desire for more of Him. And if I were to ask you today, do you have a desire within your heart to really let God's Spirit move through you? Do you? You know, we can say, no, I'm not talking about those who said yes right now. Okay, we better not do that. No. But we can say yes right now. It's Sunday. Tomorrow is Monday. Monday, different day. Different experience. But we really need to be honest with God. And if we don't feel that we can sort of be honest with him and say, oh yeah, I really want you, Lord, ask him right now, just in a little prayer, Lord, open my heart to you. Open my heart to your spirit. Open my heart to your being. I know I need you. I don't know how much I need you, but I know I need you. Now, if that's the case, Jesus, in Acts, and we're going into the book of Acts, just the first two chapters, not all of the chapters, but obviously, he says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with, and I put or in, we can deal on that one a little bit later, or in water. But in a few days, you will be baptized in the Spirit. Woo! Wow. Brilliant! Yeah. What did it mean to them? What did it mean to them? I don't think they had much of a clue. I really don't. I mean, John the Baptist caught it. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But what did it mean? How would that unpack? And how is it going to unpack when God begins to really move amongst us and do things that we don't understand and things happen that we might not personally be in agreement? How are we going to react? Now here, Jesus, for John baptized with or in water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now this is a tremendous promise for them. Oh, it's for us too, but we'll go down there a little bit later. The great promise from God is this: you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just give you kind of a simple definition of this word baptism. It's the Greek. I put that in because it just sounds good, I suppose. it can actually mean... I come from a Pentecostal background, okay? We won't go into that details, okay? We all change and all things happen in our lives. But I was taught it means submerge. It means to dip. And it's true. There is that expression of it. It depends on the context that it means submerge and to dip. It means to be completely surrounded by. And the idea is that we, when we are baptized in water, is that we're surrounded by the water. We're in that, I don't know where the word atmosphere, but we're in that ambiente. We don't call it ambiente. I need Janet for translation. We're in that atmosphere of the Spirit. But there's another word that we can translate baptizo. And we don't really do it well in Pentecostal too, because I didn't know about this until I started studying it. It can actually mean to dip. Sorry, to dip and to die. Not to die dead, okay? It's not to die dead. It's to die when you dye clothes, for example, fabric from one color to another. And God wants to dye us with His Spirit. He wants to transform us. He wants to take away those frustrations of incompetence, of feeling unworthy. And He wants to change us through this baptism and empowering and filling of His Holy Spirit that He will penetrate into our deepest fibers of our being. Oh, I love it. You see, God isn't a standoff God. You notice how He came into Jesus, formed in Mary's womb. And He wants to enter into our lives. Not just to sit down and take a rest, but to transform us to the image of His dear Son Jesus. He wants to do things within our lives that only He can do. But we have to be willing to say, oh God, dye me afresh. Change my colors into the color of Jesus. You see, that's God's heart for you. He's not just, oh, my son, hi, nice to know you. No, no, no. He wants to live within us. He wants to live with us in such a way that we are actually, and I'm going to say this with reverence, I don't know whether I got it on this slide or what, we are God carriers. Can you get that? That the one who wants to live within us is God Himself. So wherever we go, we take God with us. Oh, I love it. I do. I think that's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Can you imagine it? Sinners saved by grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, made alive in God. We have God dwelling within us through His Spirit. And as we allow Him to dwell and to take control, my word, doesn't He change us? Doesn't He change us? You see, there's hope for us today. The hope is this: when God's Spirit dwells within us, we know that we have someone enabling us to be more than conquerors. We know that we have someone within us who will enable us to keep on going when the going is tough. We know that we have someone within us who enables us, who empowers us to do what He wants us to do, that might take us over to any nations. It might take us from here to, I was going to say Timbuktu, but that doesn't sound too good. But from here to, I'm going to say this one, to Chile. Okay, who would have thought little Kiva would have gone to Chile? Who would have thought little Kiva would have gone to Venezuela? When God takes hold of you, you cannot say to Him, no. You have to say yes. Oh, Holy Spirit, guide me, fill me anew. Have you got that passion within you? Is there that inner thing that's moving you to go? You know, you're ready to go. You're on your toes waiting for God to move you. I'm right in that position right now. I want God to move me again. Yeah, I do. I do. Because there's so much more to do for God. There's so much more that we can get involved with God. Oh, what an amazing God we've got. You see, through baptism, He meant being immersed in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, infiltrated, impregnated, dyed by the Spirit, so that we know, so that others will know that we are men and women of the Spirit. Do you catch that one in Philip, I'm sorry, I got my Spanish mixed up here. In Philip, he was a man of the Spirit. And the six other deacons that were with him, they were men of the Spirit. And that's what God wants to do for each one of us this morning. He wants to make us men and women, young men, young women of the Spirit of God. Oh, you know, He's not just up there in glory saying, well, I've saved them, but let them carry on. He's up there in glory saying, I'm coming down, I'm in you, I want to come into you. I want to dwell with you. They were filled with Him, filled with His power. This is what Jesus was saying. You're going to be baptized, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that it's going to blow your mind. Oh, what an amazing God's for us. What an amazing day that was for the disciples. What day was that? The day they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The day where, in verse 4, it says they were filled with the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Do you know that power of God in your life? Do you know that power of God that will move into you, that will change you, that will take you out of yourself, and He does things through you? Do you know that move of God within you that it causes you to know that, yes, you are with me in this, God? You see, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. We all say glory to God to that. That's wonderful. Oh, that's marvelous. Ah, glory to God. But it involves men and women who were filled with the Spirit of God to move out with God and trust the Holy Spirit to work through them. Now, we have various nationalities here, various nations here. And they all, I would probably be right in saying, it was through missionary, I'm prejudiced on this one, all right? It was through missionary action that our brothers and sisters from other countries know the gospel. Because they obeyed the Spirit's calling to be faithful. And we are celebrating that. We are so fortunate, mate. As a church, we are so fortunate. We have so many different nationalities amongst us. And it enriches us. Because God isn't a one white man God. Oops. He isn't a one white man God. He's a mankind God. He's men and women God. Oh, can we just go with this? Why do we need the Holy Spirit's power? This verse tells us you don't have to be a genius to work it out, to be Christ's witness. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. It isn't just to go dancing. I must admit, I do like to dance, but it isn't, you know, it isn't. It's, oh, glory to God, hallelujah. What a great time we had in service yesterday. Oh, it was a wonderful meeting, wasn't it? No, it's more than that. Oh, it's a lot more than that. You see, knowledge about God is not enough. We need the Holy Spirit's supernatural power to fulfill His purpose. God wants us to be His witnesses. And when God wants us to do something, He enables us to do that through the power of His Holy Spirit. And He wants us to be witnesses, which basically means martyrs. People who are willing to lay their lives on the line for Jesus. Oh, bless you. You feel me, mate? Oh, come on. It isn't just, oh, glory to God. No, 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 no. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Do you know what it's like when God says, do this? And everybody else says, you're wrong. But when God calls you, you know you're right. Knowledge about God isn't enough. We need the Holy Spirit's supernatural power to fulfill His purposes. We cannot live the Christian life without the work of the Holy Spirit in our being. Without Him enabling us. Without Him enabling us to be witnesses for Jesus. Without Him enabling us to be the kind of person that allows Him to clean us up from the inside out. I'm going to hit that one in a moment. But this, a witness is one who accurately and honestly relates to others that which he has heard with his own ears, seen with his own eyes, and felt and experienced in his own heart. He doesn't relate second-hand information. He declares only what he himself knows to be true. Are you a true witness for Jesus? Ooh, this is an awful hard sermon, really, but are you a true witness for Jesus? Are you allowing God's Spirit to enable you to see and to hear more of Jesus personally? And enabling you to react with your emotions so that you can cry to Him because you love Him. You can put your arms around him, not seeing him, because you love him. You can cry to him because you're so grateful for what he's done for you. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us to express. I don't know what he's up. The elder, the brother that was speaking last week, talked about joy. Joy comes with the Holy Spirit within you. You know, it's not just doing this and oh, glory to God. No, it's there's that innermost peace and joy because God's Spirit is within. Huh? Because you've been baptized with him. We are God carriers. And proofs that God's promise was fulfilled. Is that clock right? That's not right, is it? No, I got 2 minutes before then. It's all right then. Okay, proofs then. Let's have some proofs that God actually fulfilled his word here. It's all right, you know, we hear lots of promises. But did they ever come into being? Let's read this. Oh, this is a great portion of scripture. You can stand up if you want to. You can do whatever you like on this one. But look, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all together in one place. Now, that's a miracle to start with, the disciples together. But they had a desire. They wanted to see God move. They wanted to see God fulfill some promise that he was going to give them. They wanted more of God. They've just lost Jesus, but they still wanted God. Oh, awesome. And then suddenly, no, I love that about God. He never seems to work when we want him to work. He never seems to do things when we think we should do it. He doesn't do it that way. But when they were there together, actually, it might blow your mind, this one, but it doesn't say they were all together praying. Heavenly Father, we come to you that you might pour out your blessing. No. They were there just chatting, just nattering, and suddenly, the Spirit comes. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Wow! Awesome! Awesome. You can't just sit there and say, ooh, this is God on the move. Wow. This God on the move, and he wants to move in you. And me? In us. Yeah. Oh, come on, Lord. Please. Oh, I need you right now to do what you want to do for us this morning. Just think of these events. Pentecost, this special time, harvest festival, the Jewish festival of first fruits. It took the place of the beginning of the wheat harvest. It was this great celebration. They'd been working hard all the year, and they were tilling the land, and then they came to this celebration, giving thanks to God for the crop. Pentecost is a time when God is giving thanks for what his son Jesus had done. It's a perfect and appropriate moment for God to release the fruit of the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. It was a time when Christ had risen to the dead, sat at the right hand of the Father on high, and he and the Father commissioned the Holy Spirit to live within his disciples. Oh, so that God could be with God within us. We are God carriers. It's a perfect, appropriate moment. This is the beginning of God's spiritual harvest. And you are part of that harvest. I am part of that harvest. It's the beginning. And what were the evidences of the coming of the Holy Spirit? A sound like a mighty wind. I really can't imagine this, but the idea of wind here in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word is the same word for wind as for breath. And God breathes on them in such a way that this wind doesn't come horizontally like all our winds on this planet does, but it comes from heaven. Oof! A direct receiving from God Himself, from His throne, the breath of God within that house. And the amazing thing, although it was as a mighty wind, the furniture wasn't turned upside down, they weren't blown off their feet. They were there and they heard. It was like, it wasn't exactly a wind, it was like a wind. Luke, the author, is trying to describe a heavenly scene in human language, and it's impossible. But he's trying to describe what God was doing, what is that first, suddenly, that whoosh of God. It was like a mighty wind. Oh, God shouldn't do that. That could disturb people, you know. Oh, yeah. No, make sure people... I don't know whether I should say this. I'm going to do it. Yeah. Make sure that people can actually, if they fall in the spirit, there's somebody there to catch them, to put them on a chair. Oh, come on. We are talking about a sovereign God who's moving sovereignly, who wants to do His will, and let Him go and do what He wants to do within you. Don't say no. Don't say no. And like a mighty wind, nothing was destroyed. They probably would have heard it outside. Awesome sound. Sound of the breath of God. Oh, just entering into these men and women that were there, 120 disciples. Then with this sound, a sight to behold. I think this would have frightened me to death. It would have frightened me to death. They were there. There was this mighty wind. And amongst that mighty wind, there appeared a fire. And it actually basically says that this fire distributed into tongues of flame. And it rested on the disciples' heads. I suppose if you'd had a health and safety guy there, they would have blown their nut. You see, God does things that are different. God does things that are different from what we can expect and do expect. Don't limit God. Be willing to say whatever you want, Lord. So as they were there, tongues of fire, you know, they were looking at one another. This was frightening. It really was frightening. And then to top it all, there was speech. Actual tongues. Languages. Foreign languages. They were speaking. Now, Janet and I, while I speak for myself, we've struggled years to learn Spanish for various reasons, and I'm still struggling to learn it. But these guys and these ladies that were there, instantly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they spoke in languages that could be interpreted by the bystanders that were around the little house there. That's God's way of doing things for that time. He might change the system right now. Don't worry about it. Let God do what He wants to do. But be willing to let Him do what you don't expect. Okay? So with this, they get out and they preach and all that. But this sound of this wind is amazing. The breath of God on them.
sight of that those flames burning there on their heads, and then speaking in a language that they didn't know. We not hear about 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14 where it speaks about spiritual tongues as a spiritual gift. We're talking about a mighty act of God. And I just want to really close with this. If we're expecting a mighty act of God, then we can be expected to be filled with His Spirit. That's a no-brainer. It says this, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't use the word baptized at that time, filled. They spoke in other tongues. They became bold witnesses. Peter stood up. This pie guy Peter, that when a young woman said to him, you were one of Jesus' disciples, he denied Jesus. He denied Jesus 3 times. Let's not be deniers. But when he was filled with the Spirit, he stands up boldly before this crowd and preaches to them. You see, the church grew from that moment on. But it took those 120, the apostles and the rest that were with them, men and women, and God used them. Now, you just take it now. Let's just get this. And I close. Yeah, I'm going to close. If God just takes each one of us, and we are willing to allow His Spirit to move through us, what's going to happen in Truro? You know, we are rejoicing at this building, okay? And it's brilliant. This is God thing. But it's almost too small already. And that's a God thing too. Because you know why, don't you? Do you know why? Oh, yes! Oh, she's got the girl's got it. The lady, sorry. She's got it. Because He doesn't want us to be too comfortable in our nest. He wants us to move on. But move on in the power of His Spirit. Move on crying out for that baptism. You can call it what you like. You can call it an impregnation. You can call it a filling. You can call it a dipping. You can call it a dying. You can call it whatever you want. But you need, and we need God's Spirit right now. Amen.